This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Caroline and Ezra. Now, since its launch in 2008, Airbnb has served over 25 million guests from all around the world. According to Time magazine, the company is actually valued at $13 billion. That's almost half as much as the 96-year-old Hilton Worldwide. And so we spoke with Mr. Jiaji Chai, Southeast Asia and India MD of Airbnb, to find out more about the service that is changing the hospitality industry. Here's our conversation.
Jiaji, thanks for speaking to us. Before we get started on all things Airbnb, just give us a brief background about your role and then what Airbnb has become.
Sure. So I cover the business for Airbnb in the region of Southeast Asia and India. Predominantly, this means managing everything to do with getting supply in the region, ensuring that people know about Airbnb in the region, and ensuring that we have good growth in Asia, particularly the part that I'm covering right now. In terms of where Airbnb has grown, we started off as a US-based company, grew quickly into Europe, and over the past 2 years, we've invested quite a bit into Asia, which is where me and my team come into play, really about getting agents to travel on Airbnb as well, and also for agents to open their homes to travelers around the world.
Okay. All right. So, Jiaji, we know what Airbnb is. I think folk, like, I suppose my parents listening in, would have absolutely no idea, although it is extremely popular. So, for the uninformed, perhaps you could give us a brief background about Airbnb and the kind of services they provide.
Sure. Very quickly, the Airbnb is basically an online platform where you can book a home to stay when you travel. So the difference is, instead of booking a hotel on the site, you actually book someone's home. We have a million homes available around the world in 190 countries. And it ranges everything from, you can book an apartment for a week, a villa for a weekend, or even a castle for a night if you want.
Yeah. And I suppose in terms of supply, say I want to, if I want to let my place out to Airbnb, I would be able to. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so it also works as a platform for anyone who has extra space, mm-hmm. whether you have an extra bedroom or extra apartment, or your apartment is free when you're traveling. You can go onto the site or use our app and list your space, and you'll get inquiries from travelers, and you find that like there's a fit in terms of the travelers coming to your home. You can accept them, and we'll handle the payments across the two parties.
Jiaji, tell us the story about how this whole thing started. Was it in San Francisco?
Yeah, it started about 7 years back when the founders were in San Francisco. They didn't intentionally set up this as a business. They actually moved into a new apartment, and the landlord had increased rent at a point in time, and they were looking for a new business to set up at a point in time. So their immediate need at that point in time was to pay rent, and they realized that there was this big design conference in San Francisco. And the city was short of hotels. So they decided that since they were going for the conference, they would set up a site to host people in their apartment. They set up a site called airbedandbreakfast.com because they had space but no beds. So they pulled out three airbeds and blew out the airbeds and set up this site. To their surprise, they actually got three people who came and stayed with them. That helped them actually pay the rent, and they actually had a great time attending the design conference together. That was the spark that started the whole idea of Airbnb, when they shortened the name from Airbnb.
That's fantastic. You know, it reminds me of how great music bands always start in a garage and the likes. So what was the response like when they decided to start this website and actually, market it?
Yeah, so, they started with great hopes, knowing that, they had such a great experience. The reality for the first year, however, was quite dismal. They went around the different cities and different events trying to run it, but there were no more than a few hosts and no more than a few bookings over the first year. It took quite a while for the whole idea to get started. And the point in time where the whole idea actually really got traction was a couple of years later, when they actually went to New York and spent time with some of the hosts they had there. They realized a few things about the host and got really good feedback from the host. One of the things they realized was really the fact that the host could not really take good photographs of the place, and that was really getting in the way of people booking the site, booking their place.
Right.
So they actually went around, they actually rented professional photography equipment, went around and took photos of most of the hosts in New York. At that point in time, it was just a small community, about 50 or so. Mm-hmm. And that started the engine going. New York was the starting point where, you know, people used Airbnb to book to New York. And because of people going to New York, they came home and realized that, hey, I could also rent out my home. It started spreading to other cities around the world and in the US.
After the break, we pick up again with Jaji, more about the concept of Airbnb here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're tuned into the Evening Edition, and this evening we're speaking with Jaji Chai, Southeast Asia and India MD of Airbnb, about their business model.
What else was behind the reluctance of people participating to become hosts? I mean, I think there must have been so many questions that were in their heads when it comes to inviting somebody into your own home, right?
Yeah, I think initially it can come off as a bit of an intimidating step to take. What we see happen is that, like, typically people share their experience across from host to others, and people start hosting because of that. So, you know, when your neighbor or your cousin or your friend tells you that, like, hey, I started hosting my space on Airbnb, you know, your first reaction is like, oh, how does that actually work? How do you make sure it's safe? And your friend can actually tell you about, you know, what are the features in place. So we have a number of features in place to make sure that it's safe, and it's a great way to also travel when you're hosting on Airbnb.
All right. So, you know, those, I would imagine, are not necessarily teething problems. I mean, when I first registered on Airbnb and I was looking at Airbnb and looking for, you know, a place to rent, I was worried about the safety of the place. So what exactly do you have in place?
Yeah, one of the big things that helps people decide that the place is what they want and is safe for them is really around the user reviews. So if you look across our site, the large fraction of the properties are actually well-reviewed. And these reviews are not, unlike other platforms, reviews are only left by travelers. So only if you have made a stay, you can actually leave a review. Mm-hmm. And it tends to be quite lengthy and quite in-depth about telling about how the photos are, the cleanliness, and so on.
Yeah.
This gives good confidence for people to make a booking. The other thing that we do is verified photos. So from the learning early in the days in New York, we provide a free photography service to our host. And when we send our photographers down, the photographs have a label in them that shows that, like, it's a verified photo, indicating that, like, our photographer has been there and this is a legit photo.
Oh, it's fascinating that, you know, once you get past the safety aspect, it's a Pandora's box of, you know, where can you stay, where, you know, which country you can go to, and it's all these great things. But it must have been quite a relief to get past that safety issue with customers and hosts.
Yeah, I mean, and the whole foundation of the business and the broader sharing economy is brought on the fact that, like, in this day and age, there are many tools to allow this to happen. Right? So on the internet, some of the additional features that we have is really around social networks. So the signals from your social networks helps build trust. An example would be that, like, if you sort of see that, like, a friend of a friend has stayed in the place, or a friend of a friend actually knows the host, you know, there's a bigger trust that you have, and this is a feature that we indicate on our site as well. So tools like this, as well as the fact that we manage the payment, helps to build trust with this. So when you book an Airbnb, we take the payment up front, but we do not pay out the host when you check in. And we only pay out the host after 24 hours after check-in. In that time, you can just call us up and sort of say, like, hey, this place is not the same as the photos. We can return the money or find you an alternative Airbnb to stay in.
All right, so let's talk about the business model for a little bit. What exactly is the primary source of revenue over at Airbnb?
So it's pretty simple. We charge a percentage fee on the guest, anything between 6 to 15% on the guest, depending on the size of the transaction.
All right.
And that comes out, that's shown up as a service fee when the guest books. And on the host side, we charge 3% to manage all the payments and payouts to the host on that end.
Right.
And how does the price of rentals on Airbnb compare to other type of traditional traveling accommodations?
Well, typically you find that, like, for the same price, you find much more amenities and space. So for the same $150 a night, $150 a night, or about say $300 ringgit a night place, you know, you'll be able to get a full apartment with two bedrooms even, depending by city, of course. So there's typically amenities like kitchen, you have a living room, and you have more bedrooms versus a typical just two-bed hotel.
After the news, we asked Jiaji about some of the challenges that Airbnb faces around the world and in the Asian region. Stay with us, BFM 89.9. Good evening. You're listening to The Evening Edition here on BFM 89.9 with Caroline and Ezra. Now, this evening, we're speaking with Mr. Jiaji Chai, Southeast Asia and India MD of Airbnb, about some of the challenges that Airbnb faces around the world.
Let's talk a little bit about, I suppose, the local regulation and entering different countries and markets. Airbnb seems to have made the news, quite a few times in this respect. So what is the current state of play?
What we've seen is that, like a lot of new technologies and new ideas that are disruptive, regulations will take some time to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
In the past year, though, every city where we've seen that rules have changed, they've changed for the better for Airbnb. Whether it's in France, Amsterdam, or London, what they've done is they've actually made rules clearer for people to share their homes around the world. So this is a good, very good positive trend that we've seen. Cities and governments recognize the benefits of Airbnb, whether it's allowing homeowners to monetize their space or the fact that like tourism dollars actually goes into, you know, the actual citizens as well as in neighborhoods outside the hotel districts.
And so how is the Airbnb business doing in Southeast Asia and the Indian region as to where you're in charge of?
In Southeast Asia and India, we are one of the fastest growing region from both in terms of destination perspective. So, take Malaysia as a specific example. There was about 300% growth year on year, last year over 2013 in terms of inbound travelers into Malaysia. And in terms of travelers out of Malaysia, 130% growth outbound. So these are some of the fastest growing markets of small base, but these are some of the fastest growing markets that we see across the world.
Would you be able to share with us what kind of share you're seeing of that market?
We don't have a good sense of like how much the pie. What we see now is just a really high growth from the numbers that we see internally.
All right, fair enough.
Jiaji, what about in terms of the growth of what's happening in this region compared to, North America or Europe? What's working over there that can be perhaps translated here in the future or vice versa?
Yeah, so in terms of growth rates, Asian growth rates are faster, but of course on a smaller base. In Europe and the U.S., the sort of growth rates are a bit different because they are sort of more mature markets right now. I would say the difference that we see that we try to take from or the learnings that we try to take from Europe and the US is about building a culture of hospitality as well as providing enough destinations for people to go to in this region. That's one of the big elements about driving growth in the region. So ensuring that we have places to stay, not just in Kuala Lumpur and Bangkok, but also in the smaller cities like in places like in Penang or even Malacca, or in places like Phuket and Chiang Mai.
And so when it comes to this culture of hospitality that you're mentioning, of course, this sharing economy has been somewhat of a phenomenon today in the world of business. Why do you think that people today are becoming more trusting of strangers? You know, when you think about Airbnb, you think about welcoming strangers and people meeting for the first time. Why do you think that's happening now more than ever?
I think there's two things that's driving the growth and interest in doing this. One is that there are tools available to sort of build trust between people that weren't there before. So online social networks and tools like Airbnb in place, managing payments and so on. That helps bridge the gap, right? Airbnb becomes the sort of the glue, the trust glue in the host and the guest to make things happen. The other half is that just inherently, I think travelers are a lot more sophisticated these days. People are no longer looking to just go to a place and, see the touristy sites and so on. People want to really know and experience the culture and the place. And Airbnb lets you do that. When you actually travel Airbnb, particularly, as Caroline mentioned, when you stay with a family, you really get a sense of like how a local lives, right? Whether it's joining them for dinner, going out with them to a local place to eat and see the local sites. That's a very different experience from staying in a hotel and, you know, checking out a list of a guidebook.
More with GRG about the rise of the sharing economy after this. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. You're with Caroline and Ezra here on the Evening Edition. Now, before the break, we were speaking with GRG Chai, Southeast Asia and India MD of Airbnb about some of the business of Airbnb in the Asian region. Now, here's the rest of our conversation.
You know, in this space, I suppose, of providing accommodation, does Airbnb sort of see itself in this space sort of apart from, you know, the hotels and the likes? Or does it sort of, you know, aim to be a really large part of that market?
No, we see ourselves as addressing a very different segment. I think the hotels will always address, you know, do what they're good at, addressing the business travels and providing amenities that are needed. We see ourselves as growing the pie, right? So there are travelers, without Airbnb, there are travelers who would not actually make the trip. So this actually, you know, increases the overall pie of the accommodation sector. And we're addressing the need of, you know, unique travel experiences that, you know, people do not get elsewhere.
And in terms of the types of services offered, so currently it's all focused on providing accommodation. Is Airbnb looking to widen that scope?
We're very much focused on providing accommodation right now. The business itself is fast growing. There's a lot of demand, and there's a lot more innovation that could be done in this space. So we're very much focused on this rather than being distracted by broader services outside accommodation.
When it comes to innovation to the services you're providing, how much of it has to do with the internet? Because, of course, you think about businesses like eBay and Amazon that started this new culture of business.
Yeah. In terms of how innovation affects us and where the innovation can come in this space, there's a big element on mobile. Right? So if you think about it, when you travel, you know, the device that you have in hand, your smartphone, and you need all the information in there. We have apps for both the Android and Apple devices, and we're continuously improving on it, not just for the traveler, but also for the host, right? If you think about a host, someone who's hosting, being able to respond quickly on mobile or being able to take photos and also like indicate location with their phone, that helps a lot in making the service much easier to use for both sides.
All right. So, you know, if you were to put a shout out, we've been talking about why people, I suppose, should use B&B. How would you convince people to sign up as hosts, and why should we be an Airbnb host?
I think the beauty about hosting is two things. One is a very simple thing around, like, you know, it's a great way for supplementary income when your space is in. Also, when you travel, it's a great way to sort of subsidize your trip to Bali, for example. So someone stays in your home in Bali, you go home, you know, you sort of have some part of your holiday is taken care of by the space that you have.
Yep.
The other half is that when you're actually in the country and you're hosting someone, it's a way of traveling the world without actually leaving your home. Right? When I was in Copenhagen, for example, and I traveled there, There was a family who had a little daughter, I think she was like four or so. And when asking him about booking the place, he said that like the only condition I have is like when you come here, I need you to spend 30 minutes speaking to my daughter and telling her about, you know, about Singapore and about Malaysia. Because we haven't guests from this part of the world before, and every time there's someone new from this part of the world, we want our daughter to actually learn about these places. So it's a pretty interesting social
That was GRG Chai, Southeast Asia and India MD of Airbnb. If you've missed any part of this program, you can download the podcast at www.bfm.my. This is the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.